Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is one of the wisest, most cultured, interesting men that I know, Sebastian Coronado. Sebastian, who I call Sebas. Sebas, thanks for being here. How are you?
Dude, Joe, man, what a great intro, man. You say you don't like poppy intros, but that was a beautiful intro.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. How you doing today?
Doing great, man. It's cold over here in Boston, Massachusetts right now. But we're doing good. We're doing good.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad you're all right. I'm excited to have you. And why don't we give the listeners a little bit of an intro to who you are, Sebas?
Sure, man. Sure. Well, I don't think I'm anything important, but I would describe myself as a person with no nationality because I was born in Peru. And then when I was 2 years old, I moved to Honduras, right, because of my dad's work. And I was in Honduras for 16 years of my life. So that's where I kind of grew up. But it's funny because then when I was 18, I moved to the US, well, just myself to go to college. And here we are in Boston, man, from Cleveland to Boston. So I literally went all the way up south, made it all the way up north.
That's incredible. That really is incredible. And Sebas and I met when we were freshmen. We met in the second semester of freshman year. Yeah.
Shout out to Gina's house, man. Shout out to Gina's house.
It's so true. Dude, oh, that's crazy. And Sebas is just so lively. Everyone loves Sebas, and being in his presence is a real pleasure. So I'm glad that you're doing well out in Boston. Tell us, what was life like in Honduras? So you're growing up in Honduras. We're going to skip the Peru part just because you were only two. And let's just go straight to Honduras.
Sounds good, man. Bro, Honduras is, I don't know if you know, have you ever read 100 Years of Solitude? I think that's what it's translated to in English.
No.
By Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
No.
No? Okay, so this Gabriel Garcia Marquez, man, is a Colombian author who wrote this book, 100 Years of Solitude. Bro, it's like class book, but it's very interesting, very surrealist, you know. Anyway, in this book, this guy coins this term called magical surrealism, right? Because we have surrealism, but this is magical surrealism. Dude, living in Honduras, it's magical surrealism. The things that happen there, it's crazy.
Like, really?
You just can't imagine, bro. Like, yeah.
Like, what? I mean,
for example, I'll give you one of these like big life events in which like the life event that made me get interested in politics, for example. Mm-hmm. So I was like 9 years old, and then one day out of nowhere, we see that the electricity in my house and like so many other neighborhoods just goes out, bro. And we're like, what the hell? Like, what's going on? Like, mm-hmm. why do we have no light? You know? So we hear like on the radios and like neighbors of us, and like we just hear that like the president was overthrown by like the military at that time.
Oh my God.
So there was like a coup that happened like in June 2009, if I'm not mistaken, or 2008. I mix up the years. Anyway, bro, when I heard that, I was just like 8, 9 years old. I really didn't understand like how big that event was. But I do remember that since we didn't have electricity, I just went outside my house and like met with my friends from my neighborhood. And we all like, we knew that from, we had a park for where I live. And we had a park all the way up. And we all knew that from that like park, we could see into like the airport, like airstrip.
Okay.
And like, you know, we were hearing that like they were taking this dude, the president, they were taking him to the airport, and like they were gonna fly him out to Costa Rica because he was gonna get exiled. So, bro, I remember telling my friends like, yo, we should really go up there and see the plane get off so we can see that this guy is leaving.
Yeah.
I didn't really know like at that time like what like political party he was associated, like what's up with this dude, you know? But there was like a big thing that he was trying to change and people didn't like him, and the military pretty much was like, nah, dude. We're not about that right now. And so, you know, took him out of his house like at 5 in the morning, 7 in the morning. And that's why like the electricity went out. And I was like 9, 8 years old with my friends there. Two of my best friends. We're all up there and we're watching, bro. I remember vividly like the airstrip, and there's no other planes but one plane in that airstrip. And then you could see like the roads around it filled with people. It was like a sea of people.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a sea of people, and I remember just seeing this plane, bro, like, go off. And it's like, yeah, there goes the president, because they just overthrown him. Now it's like at 8, 9 years old, man.
Dude, and then what happens? So, okay, so the president's just not even in the country anymore. The military overthrows them, what?
So then they put an interim president for the meantime. Mm-hmm. right? And I think the interim president was called Micheletti at the time. And so it's kind of like, it's kind of like for you to understand it, because there's been no coups in U.S. history, I think. And so pretty much, you know, they put this president, who I think was a vice president at the time. I'm not sure on that. You know,
okay.
Don't quote me, but they just put him in place for the remaining time to the next elections, which was like 2012, if I'm not mistaken. So he was like 2 years, no, like 3 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, he was just the president for the meantime. But some people don't recognize him as a president. It's kind of like a little hot topic. Like, was
That's
he a
so
president?
Interesting.
Was he not a president? You know, because he was there for like more than 2 years. Because I
Okay.
remember when Honduras classified to the World Cup, for like after 32 years of not making it, he was still a president, because
Oh, wow.
I remember that another like magical surrealism like moment. Honduras qualifies to the World Cup. There's mayhem in the streets, but like good mayhem, bro. Like people are like throwing fireworks, bro, gunshots in the air, for drinking, they're like chanting, dancing, moving cars, there's like traffic everywhere, bro. And this dude, like, I remember, like, he was like, yeah, we're gonna have a national holiday like on Monday. So, because that party had to keep going, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It
You
was
can't
just
stop.
unbelievable. Like 32 years after not being in the World Cup, and this dude
Man.
like says like, yeah, we're gonna have a national holiday. Of
Yeah.
course, it's then we go into a topic like how important is soccer, or you know, soccer or football to a country to like have a national day of not working. But
For
you
sure.
know, it's you can get into the nitty gritty of that, but. No, it was something fun. I remember I was so happy because I didn't have a school day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what was the school kind of like for you typically at that point? Like, is it like a
well,
typical, like kind of how we roll? Is it every day?
Yeah. I mean, every
Hours?
day, Monday, Friday. I went to a Catholic school, to
Okay.
a bilingual school. It's called Macris. Macris for Maria, or M-A, and then Chris for Christos, so Christ, or Maria and Chris, like Mary and Christ, Macris.
Yeah.
Pretty cool name. I liked it.
Two big ones.
Yeah, I guess. And it was nice, man. It was the school that I was particularly it was very focused on like academics and stuff, especially mathematics. And so I brought, in terms of like education, I'm like so happy I went to that school. So happy, because I learned so many
That's
things.
incredible.
It's
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the way how my school and a bunch of other like bilingual schools are set up, or they're like trying to go on the track of like an American school system. So,
Okay.
you know, you graduate with a high school degree, compared to like other schools in Honduras that, sorry, they don't have that like high school diploma, you know, like
Yeah.
curriculum, I guess. So a lot of people from Honduras, they graduate when they're in the 11th grade, rather than in 12th grade, because that
Okay.
12th grade is what makes it high school.
Sure.
So what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so they graduate in like 11th grade, and then they go to college. And so, for example, in a lot of places in Latin America, that's how it is. Like, there's no high school, because you know that's like kind of like the American system. So they graduate in 11th grade, and then they go to college, and then they end up like graduating college, like at 21, 20,
Yeah.
22. But
Interesting.
it depending on the country they're talking about, there it's a 5-year college instead of a 4-year college,
Okay.
which kind of like supplements that extra year in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it varies on the country. In Honduras, it's 4 years after high school. So yeah, it's very well. Honduras also got to know, Joe. Honduras is a very Americanized country, man.
Is it okay?
Super Americanized. I mean, there's
Really?
like three fucking military bases there.
Yeah.
That's in the country.
Is
It's
that what
crazy.
caused it, you think?
Like the military bases?
Yeah, is that what Americanized it, or why did it become Americanized, would you say?
Well, one, because it's in Central America, so it's like
Okay.
It's very close to, bro, like the south of
Yeah,
the
you're right
US,
there.
Texas
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
Florida and all those. And it's kind of like an extent. I don't want to say it's an extension to Mexico, because it's really not. But all those cultures from Central America to Mexico, they're very similar. You know, they're very similar, but they're also very different. So, you know, Mexico is also very Americanized, just because they're the southern neighbors, right?
Sure.
And so the US is just so big, bro. Like I've always said, like the US is so powerful and big not because of the money. I mean, obviously the money and all those nooks that they got is beautiful, but it's more because of their influence over the world, man. Their media, you know, the media that they have, the way of communicating a message. You know, that's why the American Dream exists too, because that's like their way of communicating to the world, like, hey, you can come here and you can make all these things happen, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to make things happen.
Opportunities, so, right? The opportunities and the hard work. Great Gatsby.
Yeah, dude. And so, like, just think about it, like, a bunch of, like, if you're in a country, right, and you're, like, very well off, and you want to make money or whatever, and an easy way to make money is, like, oh, there's these products in the U.S. that I know will be a hit here if I sell them here in Honduras.
Yeah.
So, there's always been, like, so many ways in which the U.S. and Honduras, and they just, like, you know, relate to each other, like, from diplomatic ways to, like, the movies that you see or the songs that you hear, or, you know, just goes so way back, way back. Funny story, dude. There was a Taco Bell one time in Honduras. I wasn't there
What?
because it was like during the 90s. Like, you know, like not even my family was there. But apparently there was a Taco Bell. Yeah, there's pictures and everything. So there was a Taco Bell, but guess what? Taco Bell went out of business in Honduras because they couldn't compete with the tacos, bro.
Dude,
couldn't
that's what I'm saying. With the
tacos. Yeah.
So Sebas and I lived together for a couple different ways, but we lived in a duplex together for, I don't know, 5 months or whatever. And the food that you would make, first of all, smelled amazing. Second of all, was amazing. Sebas was gracious enough to always have me try it. And the first thing that came to my mind when you said that there was a Taco Bell in Honduras is like, there's no way that thing stands a chance against the authentic food that you all would make.
Nah, dude. It's just
it's so
it's crazy.
Funny.
It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, Taco Bell went out of business, and they didn't even last a year, from what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
But I don't even like Taco Bell. Sorry for anyone that likes it.
I think everyone will be okay, right? It's the 3 a.m. tacos. I think everyone's gonna be.
True. But like, there's a bunch of franchises there still, like Pizza Hut, Burger King, McDonald's, TGI Fridays. Have you ever heard of a Ruby Tuesdays?
Yeah.
Dude, there's a Ruby Tuesdays there. I don't know if it's still there anymore, but I remember going to Ruby Tuesday's, bro. It was like a treat. It was so nice. Bro, I love those burgers.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you, Applebee's was there too at one time, but also, you know, but I think just Applebee's in general just kind of went to shit.
Yeah, right. True enough. I think almost every other year, I feel like you would hear, oh, Applebee's is going under, and then they're still around. Then 2 years later, you're like, oh, Applebee's is going under. Yeah, and Seba, so what influenced your decision then after high school to come to the U.S. for college?
Oh man, it's like you're reading my mind. It's crazy. I remember very vividly too. I was coming back from school. I remember my parents picked me up that day, like one of the few times that my parents picked me up, and I was going through the Anillo. It's called the Anillo, which it's not a highway. It's more like, do you know like that road by First Energy? That's not a highway, but it's kind of like an expressway.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a weird, like, in between a road and a highway.
Yeah.
You can go really fast. And, you know. Anyway, I was going, so it's called the Anillo because Anillo in Spanish means like a ring, you know, like a ring that goes around. So it's this road that goes around the whole city.
Okay, sweet.
So like it goes around the peripherals of the city. And that's like my way to go back to my house. So I remember just going back and just watching out the window of the car, and I was like, fuck, man, like, I'm tired of seeing the same trees, the same streets, the same houses, same people that I always see. Nothing wrong with the people, you know, I love my friends I've met, but just tired of, you know, and everything. And, dude, I was just like, one day, because I have a cousin, in, you know, air quotes, cousin.
Mm-hmm.
she's it's kind of like a family friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
But her family is a Peruvian, same Peruvian, but moved to Honduras.
Oh wow, okay.
And she grew up in Honduras, and so I remember that at the time that she was applying for college, she's the reason why I came to John Carroll at the to start with, because she was the one that introduced me to them.
No way.
And when I was probably like in a junior or in 10th grade, either or, junior or 10th grade, and I was like, I gotta make something to change this. Like, I cannot be making the same like drive every day. So that kind of like motivated me to, you know, go somewhere abroad. Like, I wasn't even thinking of the U.S. I was thinking of like just anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And so you started exploring the options, or?
Yeah, dude, bro. I was like, thinking, all right, Germany, England, Canada, the US. I was thinking South America. I was even looking into Australia, man, because I was like, I mean, they got universities in Australia, right? They got
Sure.
people there. They got fucked ton of kangaroos and other stuff, but they got people. I was just like looking everywhere that, you know, I could go, just something different, just
Yeah.
looking for something different to change my routine things. And after like a bunch of research and, you know, a bunch of research mainly, I was between like Canada and the US, because those were the two universities that giving the most financial aid.
Okay.
So I was like between those two, because Germany, like the other European countries, to think about it, was like, it's, yeah, it's cheaper education, but then the cost of living is what gets you
Okay,
know,
got
because
it.
like in Canada, you can, you know, with the financial aid and everything, you could pay like around 20,000, 15,000, you know, whatever. But that's like, you got the cafeteria, you get the caf, you get the dorms, you know, you got everything you need right there and then. It's like included. Like if you want anything else, you can get a job on campus, you know, it's
Sure.
out of pocket expenses. But in like Germany or like Spain or England, it's like, yeah, like let's say tuition costs like 2K a year, 3K, no, 5K, because around that, because you know, because foreigners and stuff. But then like you need enough 10K a year to live. It's like, well, it's the same shit as going to the US and going to Germany. It's like, no. And then in like Europe, I have to worry about like finding a house and where do I find a house and the transportation and this and that. And there were so many moving pieces that at the time, you know, a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, I'm like,
For sure.
Jesus Christ, like I don't even know like what the fuck taxes are.
No,
Or you know.
it
So it's just
makes so
like,
much sense.
you know, so I just decided, like, I had like a university in Canada that like accepted me and everything, gave me financial aid, and then John Carroll, who also accepted me and gave me financial aid, and then between the two of them, my heart just told me, like, you know, JCU, man,
Oh,
I
that's
just
so
kind of I
wild.
went to JCU, man.
Yeah, and you're right too, because it is such like a hub. It has everything, like you're mentioning. Like you can work out there, and then you walk back to your dorm, and then you could shower, and then you can go to the calf, and then I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, which European universities or like even Latin American universities don't have that, you know. Some do, some universities do because they're pretty big and stuff. But in general, I was looking in Europe more than anything because I wanted to go to the other side of the world. But like this is like their campus is just, you go to study or class, then you're out, man. You're out and about, like
Yeah.
city and everything. Yeah.
Interesting. And did what you studied matter to you?
What do you mean?
Like, were you looking in at the schools with like a major in mind at all, or was it more
Oh,
so?
yeah. Well, I first started looking into everywhere for like a marketing thing,
Okay.
because my brother is he has his own advertising firm in Honduras,
Awesome.
and yeah, he's doing big things too. He's like
Congrats to
right now,
him.
I don't know if I can disclose it, but he's doing big things for like the tourism campaign for Honduras and stuff.
Wow, great.
Mean, I don't think anyone from Honduras is gonna listen, but
Hey,
hey,
I hope they do. I hope they do. But
I hope
either
they do
way,
too, you know.
I'll be one of the first tourists.
Bro, go ahead, man. Honduras is beautiful. Honduras is
It.
so beautiful.
We were the tour guide, so.
Bro, I'll be your tour guide, no worries.
Thank you.
No, I was just saying, what was I saying? I forgot.
I'm sorry, you were talking about your brother. And his because of the
Oh,
marketing. You were looking at marketing
correct,
before
correct,
you, yeah.
correct, correct, correct. Yeah. So I was like looking for marketing majors, you know, as that, but then once I got to Carroll, you know, that's what was my intended major. Then I started getting some econ classes and stuff, and that swayed me away from marketing, man. Swayed me away from marketing.
It's funny because you said that your Catholic school in Honduras had that math strong suit. So I feel like it correlates that. When you go to college, of course, you fall for the math-oriented econ.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like the thing that made me just want to go through like the econ route is was more like the theory part of things. And like I love to understand how things work, and I love to know how to make things work the way how
Okay.
I want to make it. So if I know how things work, then I can, you know, do things the right way so it can work the way how I want it to be for me.
Yeah,
Stuff, you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
like that's kind of what I got me into it. And like the thing that I still kind of like take from marketing is like that creativity
Which is
piece, you know.
so valuable.
Which is so valuable, because like, you know, you can hear someone tell you Yeah, the inflation is this, or like, oh yeah, the GDP is that. Like, yeah, taxes and this and that, whatever, you know. But if you put a flair to it, you put some creativity and stuff, you know, you put a little bit more effort, you package it nicer, yeah, people will listen to you more, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have that flair about you. So that's what you need. If you have the knowledge, you keep your creativity and you have that flair, there's a lot that you can do with
You can do a lot. That's why you got crazy politicians in those places, man.
that. Fair enough. Fair enough. So not to dial you back just a little bit, but walk us through the move. I couldn't imagine, I mean, going to college and adjusting and moving in is a big adjustment period, but now moving to your home country and embracing all brand new, that had to be wild. What was that like for you, Sebas, and how did that process go?
It was a little bit of a shock. I thought at the beginning, you know, before I left, I was like, all like, oh yeah, no, I won't have any problems. Like, whatever, not problem,
Yeah,
whatever.
of course.
But the only person that went with me was my mom, because my dad couldn't. So my mom was the only person that traveled with me to Carroll to drop me off and, like, you know, set up my room and everything. And it was tough, man. That Fuck, man, like remembering right now, like saying bye to my mom after like she spent like a couple of days with me. That was like the hardest thing ever, man.
Oh.
I cried right there and then when she was taking the Uber with my aunt. Because my aunt, which is my cousin's mom, she was also coming with us. So she was taking the Uber back with her to the airport. It's like, damn, like this is it. Like there's no one else from my family here but me.
Yeah.
Everyone else is Honduras, and I'm just gonna be here for myself, and I'm gonna have to figure things out pretty much. And it was tough, man, because when I was in the airport in Honduras, my friends, some of my best friends were there with me, you know, to like say goodbye to me, and like that's when it hit me. Like I saw my dad cry saying bye to me, bro. That fucking broke my heart. All
Yeah.
my friends saying bye to me, and I'm like, damn, like this is like really happening, you know, like I'm
Right.
moving away from this. Like I'm really moving away from this. And it was just magical surrealism again, dude. Like
Yeah.
airports, dude. Like airports are like the theater of tears. Theater
True.
of tears, man.
Yeah.
And good and bad, you know, good and bad.
Absolutely.
And it was a tough time to like kind of assimilate what was going on. It took me a little bit to like really understand, like the gra to grasp what was happening, you know. Yeah. Well, actually, one of the funny stories I got from Carol, one of the first days. You remember, I don't know if you remember my jacket, man, like the green, like drug rug
I
jacket.
remember it. I
You
totally
know, you
remember it.
remember it.
Yeah, it was a
Okay,
Sabah
so
staple.
bro, for real, man. It's a gift from one of my best friends that he gave me one time. He went to Guatemala to for one of my birthdays. He gave it to me. I still have it to this day. But
Okay,
anyway,
good.
the story is literally that first week, bro. I think it was like bef like either during streak week or like the week before that. I didn't know it was called a drug rug to start with. And I was just walking with it like down Belvoir going to like main campus. And this one girl like stops and says like, "Oh, I like your drug rug." And I just heard drugs and I was like, "No, I don't have any drugs, bro. Like don't deport me. Like I have no drugs." No, like, "No, what are you talking about drugs? Like this is my jacket." And then she was like, "No, like that's what you call them, drug rugs." I was
God.
like, "Ah, drug rugs. Okay." So that's how I learned that my jacket was called rug, which I didn't know.
Yeah, God, you couldn't even get a couple of days in without someone heckling you.
Yeah, dude, I just didn't want to get
What
deported. What the fuck? I don't have no drugs.
was her reaction when you said that? I couldn't imagine. Like, she had to be shell shocked too, just being like, "What did I just do?"
Yeah, dude, I don't even remember her. Like, I have no idea who she was, but whoever she was, you
Yeah,
know, shout
she
out to her
transferred
too. Yeah, shout out to
out.
her, bro.
All right, so you're there for the first couple of days. Were you alone freshman year, right? You had your own room, didn't you?
No, I had a roommate, Landon Rhodes. My guy,
Oh,
he's gonna be the next whatever broadcast commentator for any type of sport, bro.
that's
Yeah,
awesome.
that
You'll have to
dude's
send this to
awesome.
him when you're done.
I
So,
will, I will.
what was it like meeting him, right? Because that's I mean, this is all wild stuff, like a lot of differences and new experiences all the way around for, I guess, him and for you too.
No, definitely. I remember I was like in that housing portal. I don't know if you remember that housing portal, man. I was like waiting. I wanted to see who my roommate was. I wanted to stalk him on Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media.
Yeah.
And I finally like see his name. And I don't remember if I was the one that like slid into his DMs, or he was the one. I don't remember that. I can check the messages. The evidence is there. But yeah, I remember
Got
like
the
talking to
receipts.
him. Yeah, I got the receipts, man. And I remember talking to him and like asking him, like, "Yo, dude, like, we're gonna room together, or whatever. I'm from Honduras." He was like, "Oh, sweet, dude." He's like, he's from Yellow Springs, Ohio. And bro, since we started texting, like, we kind of clicked. And and then
Course.
seeing him there, like, you know, putting like the whole thing to a body and everything. I met his mom, and yeah, and he was like a cool dude since like I met him. So yeah, I like literally like since the first time we texted each other, I knew like we're not gonna have problems, and we
Oh,
really
that's
didn't have
good.
problems. Yeah.
Yeah, so like that was nice then, I'm sure, to have someone there and kind of at least have someone right away to like hang out with and just have
Correct.
conversation
Correct.
with.
Correct. Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. Well, it also helped me that my cousin, you know, like Danny, she was there too. So she also introduced me to some people, but like, you know, Landon was like the first guy that I like started the day he was there, ended the day he was there.
Yeah.
Or not, you know.
Oh gosh. Say Bus, when you started going to classes and things, was there any difference that you found in like the education or like the style and that kind of thing? Were you shocked in some ways? Was it similar? I know you had mentioned your school was pretty rigorous and like kind of similar in style to ours. What was the difference in the college scene?
You know, I didn't really find that much difference.
No.
Like, not during the first years, at least the first
Yeah.
years. When you get more into it, and then you see the difference because you start getting into what you're trying to do and stuff, and what you're interested in
Okay.
more, and classes get a little bit more difficult too, and it gets more tough.
Yeah.
But what really shocked me, dude, was like the first week of being there. Like once everyone's moved in and everyone, it what really like just kind of like took me back for a little bit. I was like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" Is that a lot of people didn't really know what was going on outside, like even Ohio.
Okay.
You know,
Yeah, for sure.
that was like the main, like the first thing that I was like, "Dude, like, how can you not know? Like, this is happening like a country away from you, or like a couple of countries away from you, or like you
Okay.
know this like, or like there's this one government like Venezuela, for example, they're going through like a bunch of shit right now. Like, it's like." Headlines, how do you not know what's going on, you know? And that was what like really shocked me about like education here. So I was like, and you know what's funny, like the dude that I was talking to that didn't know any of these things were happening, it's like one of the more smart people, to put in quotations, that you know, in our graduating class, you know, like I was like, dude, like how do you not know what's going around you? What's
Yeah.
going on?
Why,
So like
how did you?
that yeah. What were you saying?
Sorry, I was gonna ask you, how were you always so informed? Like, how did, because I agree, you always knew like what was going on in a million and one different places, but how did you manage to do that?
It's just because I'm a curious guy, man. I'm
So
just
you would
curious.
just read, yeah.
I would just read. I do not read a lot of books, and if I read a book, it's more like to learn something rather than
Sure.
like a fiction, like a narrative or whatever. But it's mainly like I hear something and I'm like, okay, I need to know like the full scope of it, so I
Yeah.
look more into it. And kind of what made me be like that was I love music, so whenever I hear like a new band or like a new artist or whatever, I would not only research their music but like the history of the band and like where they were from, like what part and what made them so big, you know, like and stuff like that. So you know, from researching music artists, like, oh, so these people in Vietnam War, to put an example. What is the Vietnam War? What happened in the Vietnam War? Why was it such a big thing? And so you know, you go into like this rabbit hole of like figuring things out the more you learn, you know. There's
Yeah.
this meme, bro. The more you fuck, no, how is it? The more you know, the more you fuck around. What is it?
I don't know.
Wait, it's like the more you know, the more you fuck, no, the less you fuck. I don't remember the meme, but it's something funny. But yeah, kind of like that. Like the more you look into things, the more you're gonna find out.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the perfect word for it. Because once you go down those rabbit holes, it's like the Wikipedia rabbit hole. You're just like onto the next thing, onto the next thing. You keep going.
Yeah. But
Another
there's
thing.
some healthy rabbit holes and also some not healthy rabbit holes.
Oh, couldn't agree more. Yeah, like
Yeah.
it's always dangerous when you find yourself down the TikTok rabbit hole and you're like, oh my God, it's been 30 minutes. You're like, I gotta get off of this. Get me off. You always had friends that were from a bunch of different places too.
Yeah.
And that has to help because they all are going to know what's going on and where they're from and around. And then you're going to know from Honduras and around. And then you have a bunch of that going on. So that's a lot of outreach there.
Yeah, no, that too, definitely. Yeah, part of my friend group was also like nomads because it changed every semester, you know? Like I had like my guys and my girls from like Carroll, you know, that they went to Carroll, they were international or whatever. But then we also had, you know, I don't remember like the transfer students. Yeah. And so, you know, transfer students would come from anywhere and I would talk to them. Like whatever I knew from the country, I would make a joke from that. And then we start like a conversation. Stuff
that's
like
great.
That. I remember like my Belizean friends, if they're hearing this, I remember like I would always fuck with them with Guatemala because Belize and Guatemala have like beef from like years ago, like saying like, oh, Guatemala says like, oh no, Belize is like Guatemala, but Belize is like, no, we're not Guatemala. Guatemala is Belize. So I would always just like come in there and be like, yo, what's up, Guatemalan, or something like that. Just some outrageous shit that I know make like something, you know, come out of them. But I would say in a friendly way, so like they wouldn't take it the wrong way. And so, you know, kind of like those things. And I learned more like why the dispute and like why is it such a big thing and like other things that like correlate to that and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, man, you have a really great, just natural way of interacting with people that commands respect and also is like playful and intelligent. And I think that has to be from all these interactions with people from all over, because the more people you interact with, the more exposure you have across the board, but also the more interactions you have with people who are having different exposures than you is going to be so fruitful for your mind and just like your personality and everything.
Yeah, dude, man, like that. And like, you know, it's funny. Oh, actually, before I continue, the meme is the more you fuck around, the more you find out.
I see. That makes more sense. Yeah,
That's what it is.
That's like anyway, a life motto, dude.
Do it, bro. I guess. I don't know. What was I going to say? Oh, man. I forgot what was I going to say, dude. Because I'm fucking around too much.
Yeah. It's okay. We were just talking about like the out. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just remembered. But the main thing, dude, is like, you got to keep an open mind, you know, like you cannot just be fixated in your ideas or like your way of doing things. And I'm like a person that's like very much like sturdy on its way of doing things, but you still have to have some like, got to give it some space to be like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. And, you know, admit that you're wrong. And that's nothing wrong with being, you know, being in the wrong place or in the wrong position or whatever, you know, because you just gotta learn, you know, everyone's got their own experience. You just gotta like try to understand them and put two and two together and then put your own input into it and then make your own conclusion, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's that classic of like there's two stories and somewhere in between is the truth, you know? Like there's truth to both. I'm sure there's validity in all of it, and you gotta find that middle ground that is probably the truth.
Or sometimes there's no truth to one side, but you just gotta hear them out either way, you know? Because you cannot just like deny a person to say what they want to say.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's one of the cool things, that you get a glimmer into somebody by hearing their story.
Yeah, no, definitely, bro. Like for example, like Cyril, I've been called a fucking Mexican like so many times in JCU, bro. But like I'm not gonna like tell them like, yo, like I'm not gonna get mad about that, you know? Like I will get pissed a little bit, but I'm like, then I think about it, it's like, okay, you gotta understand, this dude is from like Central Ohio. Dude's probably not even been out of Ohio. Like, how is he gonna like differentiate what a Honduran, Peruvian, like Mexican, you know? Like, so like, you just gotta keep an open mind and just like don't take it too personally.
Yeah. Why are people talking about that though to begin with? Like, how does someone call you a Mexican? How does that even come up? You know what I'm saying?
Because they don't know better, bro. Because that's what I mean. Because like, think about it. When the British came here to try and like colonize the US.
Yeah.
Like anyone that spoke with like a accent, they're probably, oh, they're fucking British, bro. But they could be from fucking Boston, bro, and they like have a weird accent. They'd be like, oh, you're a British, bro. It's like, no, man, I'm from the US. It's just like, kind of like that. It's kind of like a shitty example, but
no, but like, I get what you're saying. You don't know better. Mean like, why is that even coming up? Like, the first time I met you, I wasn't like, what's up, Mexican? Like, I don't get it. Like, how does that even, you know what I mean? I don't understand where that comes up in conversation.
I guess that makes more sense. Well, the first time I got called Mexican was in the I Am Sports at John Carroll. Bro, it was my first semester there, and we almost got banned for life at I Am Sports because we were playing against this like team from Seguep. Shout out to Seguep, bro. Not in the good way though. And they were pissed at us, bro, because we're all talking Spanish. They don't know what's going on. We're beating them, and bro, they're calling us Mexicans and whatever, and like, go back to where you're from. That was like when the height of like that phrase was, bro. Like, oh, go back to where you're from, whatever. Yeah. So like, that's one of the times.
That's garbage. That's crazy.
Or like for example, when they're like trying to like figure out where Honduras is, like, oh yeah, it's like Mexico, right? I was like, no, well, Mexico is just this country, and there's other 7 countries in Central America, yeah. And then there's another 10 in South America, and so there's this cool thing called Latin America. You know, so you're trying to like educate. So like the way how I go about things is the way how I think it personally for me. I don't know for anyone else, but for me, is that I'm always gonna be an ambassador where I'm from, wherever I go.
That's so awesome. What a cool perspective to have us. Yeah.
If I like act the wrong way, that person that could not know, you know, mm-hmm. more than just like Mexicans or whatever, mm-hmm. they're gonna be like, oh yeah, this dude, like this Spanish dude is big Spanish Mexican for sure. And like, he was so disrespectful, he was so mean, like fuck him, you know, whatever. So I'm always trying to be like, I know I'm an ambassador because, and I like, I know I don't have the title of an ambassador. That's just like a thing I put on myself because, you know, I realized that like being a Carol, like there's so many people that just, no, like beyond their four walls. It's mm-hmm. like whenever they meet someone that's like so different to them, they're like, whoa, like who are you? And like, where are you from again? Where is that at? Like, where are you from? Where is that at? Is that close to Mexico? Oh, okay, no, okay, so where is that at? And whatever, like, I don't know where it's in the map. So you're trying to like educate them, but not to like educate them in like, oh, you're dumb, like make them feel dumb, you know? It's more like, no, dude, it's actually like Mexico is like this, and then there's other countries, and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
So you always had a gentle approach. Anytime you were telling someone something in an informative way, it was always gentle. Because I've seen a lot of it. We spent a lot of time together. We did.
It's always gentle. You don't want to make people feel dumb, bro. Like,
yeah.
That's the worst you can make. Like, if you make fun of someone for their knowledge, no, man. Like, that's not cool. Because, you know, even Plato said, I think it was Plato, like, I know nothing, but I also know everything, you know, because you got to understand, you got to acknowledge your own ignorance because you don't know everything. So it's like, dude, like if someone makes you feel dumb, it's like they're assholes to make you feel dumb because, you know, it's not your fault that you were born in Central Ohio and haven't had the chance to fly out of the country for X or Y reasons.
Right.
So I'm here to be like, hey, I'm this alien. Shout out to my aliens and be like, you know, I'm this person, you know, we're different, but we're also very similar and this and that. And just trying to teach you like, yeah, there's more to the world than just Ohio. I'm putting Ohio because we're in Ohio.
No. And that's where school was and everything. Save us. I don't know if you remember this. I remember this so vividly. It just came up into my head right now. Do you remember when we were playing intramural volleyball? Remember how that was like a big thing? So we're playing and, I remember there was someone playing before us who was speaking Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. Obviously you do. And it was heated. And I remember they like, it wasn't a spike, but they pretty much spiked the ball over the net and got a point. And they were saying something in Spanish. And I'm like, and I knew they were fired up. And I'm like, this has to be something good. I remember turning to you and I'm like, what are they saying? And you just told me exactly what it was. And it was like, basically, I'm half this. It was like this major just taunting. And I remember cracking up. That was a top moment. That was so funny just because.
Damn, dude. I don't remember that.
Yeah, because you started chuckling and I'm like, what are they saying? You could tell that it was animated, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Vivid memory for me because we were on the next game and that was always, I loved that. I loved that moment. It was just, I felt like I knew what was going on.
Yeah, I wish I could remember, man.
Yeah. I'm sure that was a constant for you though at the same time. That's not going to stand out to you where what's going on and someone else doesn't.
Yeah. Well, you know that that happened to one of my friends one time. He was speaking Spanish and then like this girl like turns around and is like, what were you saying? About me? Because I think he was talking about her. And it's like, what are you saying about me? I was like, shoot,
Uh-oh. And
bro,
she
like,
knew?
you got cut. I think she did. I
Yeah.
think she did. I think she did.
Ooh,
But, you
yeah.
know, that can happen too. So that's why you cannot be talking around people like that.
You just got to be good in general, right? For sure.
Bro, she was like the whitest girl too, bro. So I was shocked as well.
You're like, wait a minute. You don't have any sort of Spanish speaking
Yeah.
idea in you.
But she
That's
did. She
funny.
did. So I was like, hey,
Yeah.
fair play to her. Fair play
How
to her.
cool. I want to learn Spanish. That's like on my it's on my bucket list. We took it in grade school. I just struggled. I don't know why I struggled. I ended up taking Latin in high school, and
It's tough,
Latin didn't
dude.
make much
The
sense. I don't.
way how they teach languages here in the States is tough, man. I
Is it
mean,
really?
tough.
I don't obviously don't know any
Yeah.
differently. What makes it tough?
I mean, I don't know, man. I wasn't in school here, but I can tell you stuff from like
Oh.
experiences from like other people that have told me, like, because you know you can learn a language. You will never learn a language unless you don't practice it or like put other hours into like listening to music or looking at a series or movies with like Spanish subtitles or English subtitles and then Spanish like audio and stuff.
Oh, that makes
But if
sense.
you never
Yeah.
practice, bro, like you're never gonna learn any language. You know? I learned English because my school was mainly in English. Like they really wanted to like put that into you. Like you gotta learn English. So
Wow.
like I learned from like kindergarten all the way till I graduated, man, you know? And a bunch of like my math classes were in English and stuff. A bunch of my
Wow.
classes were in English.
That's
So
so
like if you don't
effective.
practice it, if you don't practice it like that, like you're not gonna learn, you know?
Yeah. So
And I
then would you
was
speak Spanish at home?
correct. Yeah, no, I would never speak English at my house or even at the school, like in recess or lunch or even
Sure.
like doing like homework or like a classwork, you know, the class would be in English, but bro, like we're in a Spanish speaking country. We're going to speak
Yeah.
fucking Spanish, you
No,
know?
that's so cool. Wow.
Yeah.
And
But you
that only
gotta like
makes
really be
sense.
into it. You gotta really be into it to like learn any language, you know? Cause I remember when I was 13, bro, I was trying to learn Mandarin because in my head, I was like, bro, like Chinese, like China. It's gonna be like the next big thing. Like when I was like 12, 13, I was like, I know it's gonna be a big thing. I gotta learn Mandarin because I gotta make business, I gotta make money. That's kind of like my mindset. And so I started learning Mandarin for like a couple of 6 months, and then my fucking instructor just vanished one day, and I've never heard of him.
Whoa, that's
Yeah, I mean,
wild. That was a lot of
sounds
blast
kind
in
of
your
dark,
day.
but
Yeah,
it sounds kind of
yikes.
dark, but I think that guy was like into some like spy shit or something. I don't know. This dude
Interesting.
knew like
Yeah.
8 languages, and he was an look at this Italian guy that knew like 8 languages, just happened to be in Honduras. Why? No idea teaching languages. I don't know what else he was doing. And then like
Yeah.
after 6 months, he just sends us an email saying like, oh yeah, like I'm not gonna be back, and I'm gone and goodbye. And I was like, all right,
Whoa.
cool. And that goes my Mandarin.
Was
That's all I know, you know.
that
Yeah, that was the end of it.
the end of it? That's
Yeah.
weird. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of people in Honduras that can like teach you Mandarin, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's a tough language too. It's like not, you know, I mean, obviously Spanish and English have some similarities, but
No, but Chinese is like way, 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 way out there, bro.
yeah, it's super
There's no
different.
alphabet. Did you know that there's no alphabet?
It's all letter or characters, right?
It's all, yeah, character symbols, bro.
Yeah, symbols. That's so tough. I don't know how you like in my head I'm thinking you have to memorize them all, right? I mean,
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I don't know. Is there well that's a
No,
whole other story, but
there's certain, just to like add a little bit more, there's certain ways in which you draw a character. Like for example, if you do a stroke from up, yeah, from down to up, like from the underneath to up, it's like one thing. Like you can see it in the stroke.
You
And then if
can.
you do it, and if you see it from, and if you write it from like up down, it's like kind of like changes the perspective of things.
Yeah,
No, like let's say you
interesting.
have to do like a stroke, like let's say it's just like a line and then you have to do a box. If you do the box first and then the line, it's like it's already changing the whole thing. You have to do like the line and then the box. Yeah. It's very different.
And does each character mean, or each symbol mean one word, or does each symbol mean like a phrase?
So I don't know that much, but each character can mean a thing, but it also like all the characters can just mean one thing.
Yeah.
You
Okay,
know?
got it. Got it. Interesting. Dude, you've had a lot of language exposure too. That's kind of cool.
Oh, right. Love languages. I love
Yeah.
languages.
I remember you were listening to stuff in Italian at the duplex, like Italian music. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Probably. I probably listen
Yeah.
to all types of music too. That's how I
That's a
learned a lot of languages, like Portuguese. Like, I can understand way better than I can talk, but Portuguese, bro, it's like I can defend myself just from listening to music
Wow.
and like hearing like soccer stars interviews in Portuguese and subtitles, or like a good movie, like a good Brazilian movie or whatever, you know. Just learn.
That's so smart. I mean, this is the stuff that like people, we just, I mean, people, I'm not like dogging America, but I feel like people in America just don't do that kind of stuff.
It's tough, dude.
You
It's
know, I
tough
don't know.
because the US is so fucking big too, Joe. Like, just Ohio, like crazy. Here's a crazy stat: Ohio is like 10 times bigger than Honduras.
What is it? What is it? Like you're like 11 million in Honduras, something like
No, bro. It's more like 8 million, 9 million now, probably.
that?
Yeah, and Ohio's like 15 or something. But in terms
Honduras
of like
population.
the, in
Oh
terms
yeah,
of like
10
the,
mil.
in terms of like the square mileage, or like the
Yeah.
square feet, whatever, bro, you can put like two or three Honduras in Ohio. That's
Wow.
crazy.
That is
Yeah.
crazy. Yeah, no, how's
You know
not
what I
even
mean?
like that big, you know what I mean, in the grand scheme of things. Like if you talk about like Texas or Montana.
Or California,
I
dude.
got California. Yeah,
You know what I
Florida's
mean? And
big.
it's like, it's just, you know, it's just what it is. Like, there's people that just haven't left their state, dude. And that's a reality of it, you know?
When you look at America and your transition here, what's if you had to pick one favorite thing, what's your favorite thing? And if you had to pick like your least favorite thing, what would be your least favorite thing?
My favorite thing and my least favorite thing.
And however you want to take that,
Damn, dude, that's a
is
tough
great.
one. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because I do like a lot, but I also dislike a lot. But
I mean,
the
you
things
did
that.
stay.
Why? What did I say?
You did stay. You're
Oh,
still
I did
here.
stay. I
Yeah.
did stay. I did
You
stay.
didn't
Yeah.
run away.
Because there's other influences too behind that. Shout out to Alana Oakley. What a
True
great girl.
enough.
What was I gonna say? I think the thing that I like the most is just that liberty that you have.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. You want
It's
to
a
go on about that?
very cliche answer. Very cliche answer, but it's true. You want to start a business? Okay, you got the parameters. You've got the money, you got the parameters. You start your own business. You want to go out naked outside? You might get tagged for public indecency, but you can do it as long as no one tells you, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna like, and you know, this crazy thing, bro, is that everyone's so like focused in their own world that they were like, I could go naked right now, bro. Nobody would see me. Nobody would notice that I'm naked. They would see like, huh, interesting, and then just go on with their day, you
Yeah,
know.
right.
And it's just like that, bro, like that, like sense of like, I can do whatever the fuck I want. I can wear like ridiculous clothing. I can wear all the piercings I want and not be like judged. And you will even be judged too, you know. You have that sense of like, there's 355 million people in this fucking country. You know, there's one for everything. There's a place for everything.
Yeah.
You know, you even got the fucking furries too, bro. Like, you can be an animal if you want. Like, that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think the thing that I dislike the most is just that it's just that dividedness, really. Like for example, I might get a little controversial here, but like the Latinx thing, bro. Well, you've always known my take on like Latinx and stuff.
I do know you're taking the Latinx thing. Go ahead.
And I'm like, dude, just like say you're from the United States. That's it. You know, like
Yeah.
that sense of like you don't want to identify from the country that you're in, but you'd like to receive all the benefits. Like
You
you
want to
like to
explain what
be.
that is for? I know what you're talking about, but do you want to explain, or do you want to leave it as is? It's
Sure,
up to
sure,
you.
sure. Well, Latinx is just a term that was coined by this like American researcher from Harvard, like during the 80s, to just refer to a more inclusive way of referring to people from Latin American. It's from according from what I read was like from Latin American like descendants, or from Latin American like you were there, like you're from there, and you're not like a U.S. citizen or whatever. And so just that was just such a stupid term,
Yeah.
because I knew so many people like not even Carol, bro, but like. Around the states, because I've been all around the states, and I meet like some like person that their grandparents or their parents, they're like from a Latin American country or whatever, and they're like, yeah, dude, I'm Latinx, and like I'm like from let's say Honduras. I'm like, oh, you're from Honduras, like let's relate. And then they're like, oh no, dude, I went to Cleveland Heights, or I went to Middlesbrough or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, but you say you're from Honduras. It's like, all right, let's speak Spanish. Ooh, bro, I don't really know Spanish that much. And I was like, all right, so like, do you know, like, you know, I cannot like assimilate the culture of being from Latin America with the people that say that their letters or whatever.
Sure.
But that's kind of where it is, you know. But they're really from the United States. They're U.S. citizens. They're not like me. Like, I'm technically an alien, Joe. That's why I say shout out to my aliens.
Yeah,
because I don't
funny.
have like a citizen, like a citizen like status or whatever. I'm just like on a work visa right now. But you know, that's kind of like pisses me off a little bit, because if you're from like Latin American countries that like it's been gone through a lot, you know, coups, fucking drastic changes in the politics, or just like a very corrupt system, corruption in general, like you wouldn't be so cheerful or so happy to rep that country.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I rep Honduras and Peru. Like I rep Peru and Honduras, bro, like fucking hard. But like I'm also very critical of them because of I know how it is. And if you've never been in countries like that and you don't know what it is, then can't be speaking.
And because of your care for them, you want the betterment. Like that's like you want Honduras to thrive, you want Peru to thrive. And so that's why you're so informed. And so I could imagine the frustration or like almost like the letdown when someone says that they identify with you, but have nothing in common with you except for way down the line.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like if you really were from these countries, like you wouldn't be so like, oh yeah, no, that country is the best country. Cause I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. Where are you? Like, you couldn't even get like welfare in Honduras. Like there's no postage mail in Honduras. Like, what are you like bragging about as being so much better than like other countries, you know? Yeah. So it's just like a very blinded view, very like blinded view because they haven't grew up there or whatever. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Those make great sense, man. Those are two really good ones. The liberty aspect of it. And then just the, divisiveness is a perfect word. I think that you used. They kind of go hand in hand. Like they're almost opposites.
Correct. Or the other thing I hate about it is just like, bro, that fucking mass shootings, bro, here. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, literally, it is a weird one.
That was one of my fears, bro. That was one of my fears coming here. Like, I was always thinking, like, I hope I'm in class and that, like, I hope that didn't happen, right? But, like, I'm in class and, like, fucking person just pulls out a gun and starts shooting everyone. Cause I was like, that's like my worst fear, dude. Cause it's funny, cause you're living in a country that's been tagged for so many years as the most dangerous country in the world, bro. You never, never in your life would hear about someone just randomly shooting up a place.
In Honduras, you know why?
Yeah. Honduras, yeah. Peru, like, bro, and if you heard it, it's like once in like a century or whatever, right?
Yeah. Wow.
But it's not a common thing, bro. Like, and that's the crazy part. Like, the country has been tagged as the most dangerous country in the world doesn't have shootings like that. It's all like drug related, crime related, but not like, oh, bro, I'm just going to shoot up my school. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
You know why I think that happens? I think it's because people here just have too much free time, dude. Have too much free time, bro. Like, for real. Have too much free time, which is good. And that's why I love it, because you have so much free time to, like, focus on other things.
Yeah.
Like, for example, there's families in Honduras, bro, Peru, and all Latin America that they wish that they can just shoot up a school. And I'm being very exaggerated.
I got you. Like, to have the time. Like, yeah.
But, like, the thing that they're worrying about is, like, okay, am I going to feed my family today? Am I going to be killed because I'm in, like, some dangerous business right now? Am I going to be able to provide electricity, a house for my family? Am I going to be able to provide for myself, my parents? Like, am I going to find a job? I don't have a job. Am I going to find a job?
Yeah, these are primitive needs, right? Like, these are very important,
bro,
immediate. These are baselines.
Right. First world problems, man.
That's
You know, like, oh, my iPhone, like, or like, oh, this, like, checkout, like, cashier was a mean person to me, or like, oh, the fucking McDonald's ice cream, whatever, it's not working. Like,
that thing doesn't work ever. So
it doesn't.
That's it doesn't true, actually true. Work. It doesn't work.
Yeah. No, you're right. Right. But you know, like, people have other needs, dude, you know, and just like, if you haven't seen it firsthand, you never understand.
And you know them both very well. And they've been here now for, what is that, 6 years? And then...
No, it's more like 5 years now. Going to 6 years now.
Going into six, right? Yeah. Coming up in this summer, August. At the end of the summer. Yeah.
August.
Wow, dude, that's awesome. I just can't believe we've been out for that long, too, as a side note, but here and there. Okay, so, and to kind of dial you back just a little bit here, you finished up at Carroll, you finished with Econ.
Yeah.
And take us to where you are now. We've kind of... working their story a little bit with all these mindsets in between. That's the best part, is like hearing people's story, but also like their mindsets about things and why they do what they do. That's my favorite part about the podcast. So save us.
Definitely, man. Well, it's quite the roller coaster of emotions, man. Like, I was living with Alana, my girlfriend, over the summer because my lease ended up. So, I didn't want to be homeless. So she was kind enough. Her family and her were kind enough to not make me homeless. So that was a nice thing of them. And so
That's awesome.
I was living with them for a while, and I was just trying to like figure out like what I want to do. Because I worked for Cuyahoga County for like not even a year, for like more like 9 months because of my work authorization or whatever. I don't want to get too much into bureaucracy
Sure.
for it. Anyway, and I knew that was coming up, and so I was figuring out how to renew my work authorization, or like how can I extend my stay here, because I had so
Yeah.
many things here. I guess I've been building so many things here that I just didn't want to, just because it's out of my reach, to just like lose it all pretty much,
Okay, got it for sure.
And so I was looking into like jobs here and there. Like, also, by the way, for the people listening, like being a person that's not a US citizen and like trying to find a job here is a pain in the ass, bro. It's a pain in
Really?
the ass, bro. It's horrible,
Just
horrible,
without the
horrible.
citizenship.
Just without the citizenship, bro.
Interesting.
Literally,
Interesting.
just without the citizenship. Like, I was never taken for so many jobs just because I wasn't a US citizen, because of the paperwork, the extra paperwork that we had to do.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah.
Anyway, and so I was trying to
Oh, that's
figure out what
okay.
to do. Yeah, it's not even because of my skills or like anything. It's just
No,
because I'm
just
not a US citizen. It's just out of my reach, Anyway.
that's the thing that's weird, is like it's just kind of like a system, it's like a cog in a system sometimes when we're
Yeah.
working.
Yeah, no,
It's like,
I
eh,
and
you're
I and I
capable, this guy's capable. Eh, less
and I
work.
totally get it, Joe. And I totally get it, like, bro. Like, of course, like if you're like if the country's the US, you're gonna look out for your people. And I totally get
Right.
it. Like, that's fine. It pisses me off when like people, there's so many openings, and it's like people don't want to take the openings. And I'm like, well, I
Yeah.
can take the opening, but you won't allow me. It's not like I don't want to
Right,
do it.
but
It's
oh
just they're
God.
just not allowing me. And that's what really pisses me off. Or like person that's like, oh yeah, I don't like this job, I'm just not gonna do it or whatever. And I'm like, bro, like there's so many people that would love to take that spot.
You've had the
Kind of like
fortitude to
that.
push through, man.
Hey, bro, it's tough, man. Well, it kind of ties into what I was gonna say. So I thought I was gonna, like, the plan I had, I thought it was gonna work out. Then I figured out that it wasn't gonna work out. So that meant that my work authorization was gonna expire and I was gonna have to leave the country. So when I heard that, I was like, bro, I was devastated, because I was so pissed off. Like, I cried and everything, because it's just, I always feel so impotent because I couldn't do anything. I just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, I talked to Alana and I was like, hey, like, just want to let you know that I'm probably not gonna be staying in the US because I'm gonna have to leave in August. I was like telling her, like, hey, because I knew she was going to Boston. So I was like, I'll help you move to Boston. I'll be there with you like a month or two, and then I'll have to go, and we'll figure it out from there. It was a very emotional conversation, everything, because I was just like looking at everything that I was working for and like building, like just kind of going away. So I was
Yeah.
like,
Through no fault of your own,
or
too. Like, just, yeah, I can't even
yeah,
imagine.
it's just the powers that be, So I was just devastated, sad, and like at this time, I applied to Boston College, but never heard anything back. So I was just like, yeah, everything's dead, and I'm just gonna have to go back to Honduras. And I was already thinking, because I'm just I like to be prepared, but I don't like to be caught off guard. So I was already thinking like what to do in Honduras to like kind of fund everything that I want to do, so I can come back here regularly and like be with Alana and just like kind of stay here and like maybe find things to do like remote. I had plan B, C, D, E, bro, all the way to Z, bro. And so I was ready for anything, but I still was sad. And so one day, bro, out of nowhere, I was just like, man, these people from Boston College, like, they're really taking a long time to tell me. Like, I really, at this point, I was like, I don't care if they tell me, like, oh no, like, but like, where the famous bullshit response from every company. And I called this dude that I was talking to, and he was like, oh, yeah, sorry, we haven't gotten back to you, but we'd like to offer you a job. And like at this point, I was like, eh, like if they're for me, good. If they don't, good either way, because like, I couldn't do anything, because the next step, like for my work authorization, was just like a work visa. And that's like when you get into like the nitty gritty things, man, because it's like not
Okay.
everyone will like sponsor you that, and the percentage of you having an H-1B visa is like 3%, because there's like 10 plus million applicants a year for
Holy
fiscal
cow.
year, and there's only like 3% of that, so you can do the math.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very small pool.
Wow.
And when I was talking to this, it was like, yeah, like we know that you had like some questions about like your work status and like your citizenship status and whatever. And it's like, yeah, we would like to offer you like a, we can work with you for like a work visa, like H-1B visa. And like, would you like that? He asked me. And I'm like, I was fucking shocked, bro. I was like, I was trying to keep it cool, but I couldn't, bro. Cause those words that he said, he was like, I was like, yeah, I would like that. Yeah. It's like, bro, this guy was so nonchalant about it too. And I was like, what's up with this? Like, I'm here, like, getting my pants. And like, this is just saying, like, it's like a piece of candy. And and he's saying, like, yeah, okay, like, yeah, we can work with that. I'll send the lawyers the things and we'll catch up with you next week so we can start doing the paperwork. How do
oh
you
my
feel?
God.
And I was like, okay, yeah, okay. And he's like, okay, cool. And he said these words I'm never gonna forget. He's like, I'm gonna work here. We're gonna work here together, and we're gonna work here for you, and we're gonna make it happen. Right now, I was like, thank you very much. And that was the end of the conversation. And then, you know, a bunch of bureaucracy steps later. And also, if you like get sponsored, just for anyone that's listening out there, like if you get sponsored, it doesn't mean that you have it either. Because at the end of the day, the U.S. government has a final say.
Oh wow!
So even if you like get sponsored, it doesn't mean that you have it.
So they could just be like, "Nah, we're not taking you."
Yeah, pretty much.
The government, interesting. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. At the end of the day, the government has the final say. It's a little bit shitty, but anyway, I mean, it's whatever.
I got you.
And so, bro, it was like the longest, and all this that I'm telling you is happening in like 15 days. Like from the start of the film, that like they want to sponsor me to like you actually got it was like within 15, 20 days. And bro, and then one day. The lawyer sends me a message and it's like, you got it, man. Bro, and I was so happy, bro. I was let's fucking go, baby. And bro, I was so happy because I was like, damn, like 15 days ago, I was telling my girlfriend, like, and everyone, like, yo, I'm gonna have to leave the country. 15 days later, bro, and I'm like, I got a work visa, dude. And I was like, what the hell is going on here?
God, it's so good.
What is going on?
Yeah.
No, and you know, everything happened, everything worked out, and now we're here in Boston, Massachusetts.
Man, part of my ignorance on it too. How long does that last?
Well, it depends. It depends, man. Depending on the employer, they can like premium process your application, which just means that it's gonna take a faster turnaround. It doesn't even mean that you have more chances of having it. It just means that, like, instead of taking like 3 months, it'll take like a month,
okay,
or even half of that. You know, depends on how much backlog they have. And so, but if your employer sponsoring you and doesn't want to do a premium processing, it'll probably take like 2 to 3 months, kind of like that. But I was like in a little time crunch because my student visa was about to expire. Like, well, it already expired at this point, and it's like I had like 60 days or 30 days, like grace period to like kind of figure out my shit, put it in lay terms, kind of figure out my shit. And I was like within that grace period. So it worked out beautifully and no problems. And I got it. 3 years here, 3 years legal, babe.
Okay. That's what So 3 years you get to work. And so hopefully at Boston College and wherever else you want to do.
Bro. I mean, like Boston College.
3 years. Oh, that's good.
And you got the option of 3 more years.
Oh, nice. So, like, you could have a total of 6.
Exactly. But that depends on your employer. Because if they want to rehire you, you know, because even though you're already hired, if they want to, like, re-sponsor you, it's valid for another 3 years. So, total of 6 years.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, and as long as you don't fuck up, I mean, chances are that you will probably get the other 3 years. So, I hope
No, you'll be great. They're lucky to have you. Do you have any interest in sticking around and making it so that you have dual citizenship, like one here and then, of course, in Honduras?
Did you know, Joe? You at all? You know, Joe, when I came here, it's funny because a bunch of my other friends that came to the States, same like kind of path as me, like going to college and they're trying to stay here. I'm thinking, you know, and I'm like 90% sure it's like a bunch of them, they came here to like have that purpose in their mind. Like, oh, I'm going to like find the citizenship
Yeah,
and like stay here and then like kind of and do whatever with that, you know. But when I came here, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to stay here. I don't know if I want to stay. You know, I just want to have a better education, have a different experience, and then kind of like move from there. You know, because my original plan was like, okay, I'm going to study here. I'm going to have a great time for 4 years. And then I'm probably going to go to like Europe, because I really want to go to Europe and live there and like just experience it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my original plan was. But I never came here with the intentions of like staying or like having a citizenship or like working towards that. I know a bunch of people I know do. Bunch of people, a couple of people I know got married and they got they're doing their paperwork. They're like that route. That's kind of funny.
That's kind of
but
funny.
You know, like I never like saw myself as like, oh yeah, like this is my goal.
Yeah.
You know, my goal was like, no, I just want to like experience something new, something I wasn't like, well, wasn't like routine to me. And I just want to have a better education, better resources, so I can be a better person, a better professional, better whatever. So I can just have, you know, more on my toolbox.
Yeah, that's so you, that defines you. And same us, so because you're gonna be like 7 to 10 years in, depending of here. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, dude, that's a long fucking time.
So I didn't know. I was like, is
some of my friends call me gringo, bro, and I'm like, I'm no gringo. Like, what are you talking about?
I just figured, I was like, maybe he wants to get his citizenship. I don't know. And you got the lady here, that's always influential too.
Yeah, that's like kind of the main influence, because she's so great. Like, I didn't want to like that to like stop her.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's great. I'm glad that it's worked out the way that it has for you, because clearly there is more that America needs from Sebas, and hopefully there's more that Sebas needs from America too. At least, if hey, not, dude, then the lady in BC.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I just remember something so funny. It doesn't have to do anything with the topic, but I remember how like John Carroll, I guess it could be, but I remember how John Carroll, they always like complain about diversity.
What do you mean?
Just like how it wasn't diverse, which it's not. Like,
oh,
how
okay.
Just it wasn't diverse. Yeah. Bro, for me, like, I was like, bro, like, white people, like, I don't have white people. Like, you know, there was like, it's diverse to me.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Bro, I was like, it's diverse to me. Like, for me, it's diverse. Like, you got black people, you got white people, you got Asian people, you got everyone. And I was like, diverse to me.
Yeah.
It's so fun. So funny.
Oh, God, that's so funny. Yeah, you're right, too, because it was, there were, yeah, it was pretty much. Yeah, it was pretty much white for sure.
No, it's white. It was like,
yeah. Overwhelmingly. Now, you're here, you're working for Boston College. That's all good. Do you find yourself doing anything unique outside of your work? Like, is there anything that you get to do here that is just awesome for you? Or what are your side endeavors? What fills your time outside of that?
Well, I've only been here for like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of like a rookie. And I'm very much like a homebody too. Especially because I don't have my crew around here. Like, I don't know the spots. I don't know where to go. I don't know, you know. It's difficult, you know, to integrate into a new city.
Totally.
But the thing that I really like about here and, like, kind of, like, what I've seen myself do is just, bro, go to restaurants. Go to, like, stand-up comedy clubs. Like, there's this, like, speakeasy that's also, like, a comedy club place that we're going to go tomorrow. And it's just like they just bring like random comedians that go like they've been starring like HBO or like Comedy Central, and bro, for like $20 you can see like some like world class comedians that have like,
dude, heck yeah, drinks.
You know, and like that happens, and then like around the corner like something else is happening, and then like, bro, there's something happening from Monday to Monday every time of the day, and it can be like furries. Not that I'm too much into furries, just like that's such a funny thing to me. Like you can like have like a furry convention, you can have the gathering of the juggalos, but you can have like the future president sitting next to you. You can have like MIT crazy fuckers also around you, like doing whatever. Bro, it's just like so many things happening at this place. Like there's the intellectual capital in this place is crazy, and I love that about this place.
Yeah, like,
you
go fit right
to
in.
A bar. You can go to a bar right now, talk to a random stranger, and they can be like working on some like race next level stuff, you
absolutely
know. And it's like it's so fun. And also like restaurants, dude, like Cleveland is not like the most like foodie place in the world.
A lot of bars, like, a lot of bar food and that kind of stuff.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. I love the price tag in Cleveland, but the main thing is like, bro, if you want to taste like, to put an example, like some like traditional like ramen, bro, I got like 5 spots 2 miles away from me. 5 spots, Joe. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Like in fucking Cleveland, it's like there's like the one, and it's not even like super authentic.
I remember you liked the one. I just remember you liked the one. Yeah,
dude. I don't want to give
it. That's awesome. No, that's awesome. Because all that food too is like really fresh, and Boston's kind of known for that. Massachusetts in general, I feel like, is known for that fresh, really good food.
Yeah, no, dude, it just have people all over the world. Like, have you heard of the slave camps in China for the Uyghur Muslims?
No. Yeah, fill
Okay,
me in.
so well,
Sorry
there's well,
to let you
China
down here.
is no, no, it's okay. So China has been going on for like a little bit, but China's trying to like pretty much cleanse China and like from this like Uyghur Muslims. Uyghur is Uyghur.
Yes, okay, it's coming back. Go ahead.
And they have like this like they're not concentration camps, but they're pretty much concentration camps. They have a nicer word for it. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it's just like a bunch of like Muslims that lived in China for so long, but they're not Chinese, they're just Muslim. And so like they're trying to like kind of like rewire them. Anyway, there's a fucking restaurant from Uyghur Muslims here in Boston, bro. And I'm like, I didn't even know that. But there's one here. Bro, there's like Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, fucking Turkish, Japanese, Latin American. You got the whole world, bro. This is a cosmopolitan city, which is what
Dude,
I love,
yeah. A lot of ports, right? Like a lot of people coming in.
bro. A lot
A
of
lot of
anywhere,
trade.
a lot of everything, a lot of everything. You wanna go to the Latin American spots, you can go to Latin American spots. You wanna go to the Eastern spots, you can go to the Eastern spots. You want the American stuff, you got the American stuff. You want the European stuff, bro, you got something for whatever you want. And it's
Oh,
so magical, so
that sounds
magical. And
so good, man.
it's only a T away from you. A T is the MBTA, which is the train system that they got. They
It's
call the
huge.
T.
Yeah. Boston's got
Bro,
that
it's
down.
beautiful. Beautiful, bro. I live right in front of one of the stations, so it's very easy to me to like move around there.
Even better. Dude, I can't wait to get out there. I'm coming on. I'm visiting. I'm
Dude, you
inviting
have to.
myself.
We got a space here, don't worry.
Dude, if you have floor space, I'm good. Oh, man, that's great. Dude, I'm so excited for you too because you're such a vibrant, animated, happy, joyful guy. And it's really just a pleasure to have you on and to talk with you anytime, but particularly from the podcast sake, I can't thank you enough for coming on. As we kind of wind down here and gear up, there's like a couple closing questions that are staples for the Chats with
Yeah,
Clark
yeah.
episodes. The first one for you is simply put, I contend that people who live gratefully have better lives. Bare bones that if you act with gratitude, if you live with gratitude in mind on your heart, that you have a better life than someone who doesn't. Just to call a spade a spade. What role does gratitude play in your life, Sebas?
Bro, everything. Every single thing. And the main thing, well, they always say to you, like, it's like Catholics or whatever, like, just pray to God and ask whatever you want, and he or she, whatever the fuck it is, like, it'll give it to you. But I've come to learn that it's like, bro, like, I have everything to me that I want. So it's like, whenever like I pray to God, it's like, instead of like asking for me, it's like, I'm like, oh, thank you so much for what I
Thank
have.
you.
Like, I'm very thankful for what I have. And instead of asking for me, I ask for other people, like my parents, my family, my friend's family, my girlfriend's family, people that I know. Because like for me, like I'm good right now. If I need something else, I'll work towards it, and I'll ask for help. But
That's
right now, I'm
beautiful.
good, and I'm just want to like have everyone else to be good too. Because it's no fun if you're the only one that's good. You want, everybody's got to eat, man. Everyone's got to eat,
There's a place at the table for everybody, man.
There's a place at the table for everyone. There's a place at the table, and the main thing is like I'm so grateful, bro, that just how everything worked out, and I couldn't be more
So
blessed, dude.
nice.
Like, it's just and I've always been grateful of everything that I've had, like since I was a little kid. I've never been the person like to ask for much. Even to like my parents, like you can ask them, and it's like, yeah, you like for Christmas I never really had gifts or like birthdays because I really didn't ask for much. I was just like happy to like just be who I was and be with who I was with. That was enough for me. No, if I get here and there, in general, I've always been a grateful person for everything I have because I know it's very easy to be for to not be reminded of how grateful or how big your status is. Even if you are working two jobs and even like struggling by with two jobs, it's like there's people out there that like live in war-torn countries, or corrupt governments that don't allow you to be, to allow you to be your maximum self, or maximum potential of yourself, or whatever it is that, they wish that their struggle is like, yeah, I'm making it paycheck to paycheck, working two jobs, and even that's shitty, even that is shitty, but
Yeah, I got you.
there's, you always found like a way to be grateful. Like, I'm always so grateful, bro, also to just like have one more day of life. Like literally one day I can just be sleeping and then just not wake up again, and that's it. And that's all she wrote,
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
and I don't regret anything I do either. Like I live my life to the fullest. If I die, like I'm comfortable with death right now, and I've always been comfortable with death. And it's not saying that like I'm looking forward to death, but it's like if I die, I'm like, I did what I wanted to do, and I'm happy with who I am and what I am doing, and like where I am in the space of the history and like what I'm doing. Of course, I have way bigger ambitions, but like,
No, I
if
got it. Yeah.
everything hits the, if shit hits the fan, bro, I'm good. I'm good. I'm
Yeah.
happy. I'm
At
happy. I'm
this
really
point,
happy.
you've done everything that you possibly could have. And if you keep doing that every day, then you're going to have that same mentality that, I've put my all in up to this point. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. No.
And you're such a simple guy, like in the sense of you do just appreciate the moment. And like you have that simplistic, people loving nature to you, which is, I mean, it catalyzes you into greatness. It really does.
Dude, it's like, and also this experience has just taught me like you cannot be thinking like even like tomorrow what's gonna happen, because like 15 days like from where like I told like my girlfriend that I was gonna have to leave the country like 15 days after, but I never expected like I was gonna have a work visa 15 days,
Yeah.
so like
What a
now like
turnaround too, man.
that also taught me like you gotta focus too much on like the future, like it's good to like be aware of it definitely. And be prepared, but even by being prepared, you never know what happened, bro.
Yeah.
Literally, the fucking world can collapse, a meteorite, or fucking done, bro. And that's it. And that is it. People who has billions of dollars and people who have negative amount of dollars, bro, they're all fucking gone.
It's that classic phrase, right? Like we make plans and then we can hear God laughing kind of thing. Like,
I've never heard that phrase, but yeah, bro.
okay.
It's
Yeah,
like
it's
it's crazy.
you make plans and God laughs kind of thing. Just
Yeah,
because
so it's like
ultimately.
you just live the day by day, really, like. Live the day by day, because you never know what tomorrow's gonna happen. You just never know. You never know.
I was going to ask you, which it kind of sounds like you're going that way as is. If you had a piece of advice for anyone listening, and you could direct it to a specific audience if you want, or just to whomever's listening abroad, what would that piece of advice be, and what would you say?
My piece of advice would have to be, yeah, just that. Just live the day by day, because you don't know what's gonna happen the day after today. Because tomorrow you can be driving and get hit by a car and you're paraplegic, or something happens and then you're blind, or something happens and you lose a limb, or something happens, whatever it could be, something can happen, man. And you're not prepared for it.
Yeah, true enough.
And just enjoy the moment that you're living right now, and not even be grateful, just like acknowledge the moment, like man, like it's nice to move all my 10 fingers that I have. It's nice to like stretch. It's nice to breathe on my own. It's nice to like walk on my two legs. It's nice, just feel yourself, like feel
Yeah.
your five senses. They always tell us that we have five senses. Fucking use your five senses, because you never know when you're gonna lose one.
Right.
You never know if you and if you don't lose them. Well, then just continue on with your life, but just live it day by day. You never know what's going to happen to anyone.
No, you
Just
never know.
literally, it's live day by day. Like, don't make plans. Be a serendipitous person. And if you can be a serendipitous planned person, it's even better.
That's you. That is you. Serendipitously planned person.
Yeah, dude, I think that's my advice for anyone that's listening.
Sebas, man, you're great. I can't thank you enough. I just love talking to you. This is like just to give everyone a little bit of a glimpse into what our conversations were like all the time in the friggin' duplex. Man, you're full of wisdom, and I think you have a plethora of experiences that people at our age just don't have. I mean, you do. It's awesome to know you. It's awesome to have you on the show. So I
Awesome
just
to know
can't
you
thank you
too, man.
enough. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Hey, bro, we're gonna run Ohio in the next 10 years. Don't worry about
You can have it. I don't know if
it.
that's You can have it. I'm just going to be doing this, making my podcast, man.
And if not in 20 or 30 years, Honduras is going to have relations with Ohio with Dave Meredith. Shout out Dave.
Shout out Dave. You know Dave will listen to this. So, yeah, he's great too. But Sebastian Coronado, Sebas, everybody. Sebas, again, thank you so much. For those that are listening, you have just been gifted with a fantastic episode, as have I.
Thank you.
You're so nice. Thank you. To my listeners, if you haven't hit that subscribe button, I say this every single time. I don't know what you're waiting for. I just keep churning out these great episodes for you.
It's free, dude. It's free, man.
It's free. It's free. If you're on Apple, if you're on Spotify, if you're on Amazon, if you're on whatever, it's on there. So just hit the subscribe button, follow Chats with Clark, follow along, go to my YouTube. It's Clark12Joe. And I'll be linking everything in the description below. Yeah.
Bro, shout out technology, man.
True enough. Yeah. I mean, this wouldn't be a thing without it. So we're on Zoom right now. I'm recording with this mic. We've got our headphones in. I'm going to post this. It's going to go everywhere. I mean, shout out technology for sure. And your people back in Honduras can listen. That's so cool.
Hell yeah. Hey, via Honduras, papi, via Peru.
What did you say, Sebas?
Bro, fucking live Honduras, long live Honduras, and long live Peru, baby.
I love it. That's awesome. That's beautiful. And as a quick side note for a little bit of humor too, Sebas and I would always call each other papi.
Oh yeah. That's a common thing though. Don't make it sexual, but yeah, it's a common thing.
Well, it wasn't sexual, it's just what you and I always
I'm not saying to you, I'm just saying like to everyone. Because like, you know, it has a sexual connotation here in the US. Like they hear like Latin girls saying like, oh papi, or like fucking Latin guys saying, oh mommy, and like something sexual, but it's like, no, it's just like a term of endearment, just clarifying things.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, because I never took it that way.
No, good. I'm glad you didn't, but like it's kind of like a thing that I've noticed here that US people
have. Yeah. People gotta make everything weird, man. They just can't take it for surface value for
true, dude. You're right.
Yeah, but that was always Sebas's word. He'd always be like, papi. And then, so of course, you got to reciprocate it. So I would always be like, papi.
You got to, bro. You got to.
So once again, I am your host, Joe Clark. This has been another episode of Chats with Clark. This is episode 32, bro. We're getting
great number. And it's is that reverse LeBron, man?
Is that reverse LeBron? That was Larry Hughes, man. When we were going up, 32 is Larry Hughes. He was a bucket, too. But once again, Sebastian Coronado, Sebas, thanks for being here. Episode 32 of the Chats Clark podcast. If you want to get in touch with Sebas, I'll have his information linked below. If you're on the podcast, if you're on YouTube, it'll be in the pinned comment because YouTube, one of these days, YouTube, you're going to make a comment back to me, but YouTube, you screw me over every single time when I try and link the links. They just go fucking away. YouTube, I don't understand bro. It. Like, what the heck?
But I don't know. It's the algorithm.
I need to get boosted on the algorithm. So everyone share this with someone who needs to hear it. I appreciate all my listeners. Thanks again. Hit that subscribe button. And this is your host, Joe Clark, signing off of episode 32 of the Chats with Clark podcast.